This afternoon, we continue our study in 1 Kings, studying the history of Israel and really the history of God. We saw last time that the line of David, which was to give birth to Christ, came down to 1 6-year-old boy. With Queen Athaliah of Judah trying to kill him. She had already killed many other children. Everyone from her husband Ahaziah's line, because she wanted to be exclusively the king, the queen, and to start a dynasty of queens in Judah, worshiping the Baals instead of the God of Israel. It was a very critical time in history. And it came down to this one little 6-year-old boy. And yet God, in his marvelous providence, raised up one, a faithful woman named Jehosheba, the sister of King Amaziah, now dead. And she stole, basically, little Joash from the household and protected him in her bedroom in the palace, and then brought him into the temple where he lived for 6 years secretly with no one telling he was there, which, as I said last time, was a miracle. But then the time came, as we saw last time, that Jehoiada, the high priest, who had been serving even during the time of Queen Athaliah, the daughter of Jezebel, even then, Jehoiada had been faithful. He had been protecting the little king. And something happened, we don't know what, in which he could take it no more. Queen Athaliah had filled Jerusalem with the worship of Baal and spread it out into Judah. And she had even built a temple of Baal within eyesight of the temple of God. And not only did she do that, but she took materials from the temple of God and used them to build the temple of Baal. Such blasphemy, such ignoring of God, such in-your-face rebellion to God is just terrible. She even took some of the utensils that were used in the temple to worship God and brought them into the house of Baal to worship Baal, defiling the holy things of God. And so we come to this point in the history of Israel where we see that Jehoiada, the high priest, led a rebellion against Athaliah and spared the king, Joash, the little 6-year-old king, and brought him forth out of the temple with soldiers all around and declared him the new king of Israel. And of course, when Athaliah heard this, ironically, as I said last time, she cried treason, treason, when she was really the one that had committed treason. And she came to the temple, she put in on a fit, and then the soldiers took her out and killed her by the gate, not in the temple, but near the gate of the house. So now, this little boy, Joash, 6 years old or 7 years old by now, was declared king of Israel. And he reigned for 40 years. So he died at the age of 46. We had a very long kingship in Israel. And that's what we're looking at today in chapter 12. What kind of kingship did Joash, or Jehoash, depending on the text, his name They use both names to describe him because they're very similar. They come out of each other. But nevertheless, so don't get confused on that. Joash is Jehoash. And we see in this chapter the beginning and the end of his whole kingdom, his whole kingship. So let's begin reading at 2 Kings chapter 12, verse 1. And we'll read the first 16 verses and come back to them. Hear the word of God. In the seventh year of Jehu, Jehoash became king, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Jehoash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days in which Jehoiada the priest instructed him. Only the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. Then Jehoash said to the priest, "All the money of the sacred things which is brought into the house of the Lord, in current money, both the money of each man's assessment and all the money which any man's heart prompts him to bring into the house of the Lord, let the priest take it for themselves, each from his acquaintance, and they shall repair the damages of the house wherever any damage may be found." So the first thing we see that he did and commanded was to rebuild the temple of God. But it came about that in the 23rd year of King Jehoash, verse 6, the priest had not repaired the damages of the house. Then King Jehoash called for Jehoiada the priest and for the other priest and said to them, "Why do you not repair the damages of the house? Now therefore take no more money from your acquaintances, but pay it for the damages of the house." So the priest agreed that they should take no more money from the people or repair the damages of the house. But Jehoiada the priest took a chest, and later in 2 Chronicles it says that Joash told him to do this, so it's the king's idea. But Jehoiada the priest took a chest and bored a hole in its lid and put it beside the altar on the right side as one comes into the house of the Lord. And the priest who guarded the threshold put in it all the money which was brought into the house of the Lord. And when they saw that there was much money in the chest, the king's scribe and the high priest came up and tied it in money bags and accounted the money which was found in the house of the Lord. And they gave the money which was weighed out into the hands of those who did the work, who had the oversight of the house of the Lord. They paid it out to the carpenters and the builders who worked on the house of the Lord, and to the masons and to the stone cutters, and for buying timber and hewn stone to repair the damages to the house of the Lord, and for all that was laid out for the house to repair it. But there were not made for the house of the Lord silver cups, snuffers, bowls, trumpets, and vessels of gold or vessels of silver from the money which was brought into the house of the Lord. For they gave that to those who did the work, and with it they repaired the house of the Lord. Moreover, they did not require an accounting from the men into whose hand they gave the money to pay to those who did the work, for they dealt faithfully. The money from the guilt offerings and the money from the sin offerings was not brought into the house of the Lord. It was for the priest. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask that you would help us this afternoon to understand the importance of this chapter and to understand your faithfulness, your mercy, your forgiveness of sinners who come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord himself said and promised that the one who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. So we thank you for that great promise. that all of us here are called to believe and come to him for salvation, for love, for his presence, his daily care, and the future that he's preparing for us. Father, send the Holy Spirit into our hearts to believe the truth. And we thank you that we see in this chapter and the whole Old Testament how you kept your word from creation to the fall of man to the coming of Jesus to the return of Christ in final judgment. You keep your word. So help us to trust your word more than ourselves, than our own thinking or feelings or the influence of others around us. To be faithful to you alone, O Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, in 2 Kings 12, we see the reign of Joash, and we haven't finished reading the chapter, but we will. But we see, first of all, that Joash's reign was a great reign, a good reign, of a king of Judah, as long as Jehoiada lived. The high priest Jehoiada, who had mentored and raised Joash, actually he was a father to Joash. Joash, yes, that's right. And he had taken care of him all those years, taught him in the temple, taught him the word of God, the commandments of God, the law of Moses, the way to God through the future Messiah, the son of David. He did a wonderful job in teaching this young king and giving him sound advice all those years. And it says in verse 2 of this chapter, Jehoash did right in the sight of the Lord all the days in which Jehoiada the priest instructed him. And if you remember when Jehoiada anointed him king at the temple, he actually brought the testimony out of the Ark of the Covenant and put it in his hands, this little 6 or 7 year old boy's hands. And he promised to be a king according to the commandments of God. And then Jehoiada took the Ten Commandments, the tablets, out of his hand and put it back into the Ark of the Covenant. And all during his reign, Jehoash tried to obey the law of God and to follow the advice and counsel of Jehoiada. And when this was done, Jehoiada led the people to make a commitment unto God, a recommitment or renewal of the Sinai covenant, that they would be his people and he would be their God, and they would be faithful to him unto death and keep his commandments. And if they kept his commandments, that God would bless them, give them all they needed, the land, the food, the shelter, the clothing, that he would even protect them from the enemies in the promised land who came up against them. And we see all, we've already seen through the life of David and the other kings, how God would somehow defeat the enemies, Moab and Edom and Syria, and even Israel, the kingdom of Israel in the north, from overcoming the kingdom of Judah. So we find here in this passage that God gave Joash, and he brought order to the land of Israel for decades. But Joash's reign looked very good from the beginning. It looked like a great revival, but sadly, it ended in turmoil. It failed. 40 years he was king. Most of that time, the kingdom was built. The temple worship was restored. The commandments of God were believed on and practiced in the land. The judges judged according to the law of Moses. And it looked like Israel had been restored to a way that had not been for decades, even a century or two. But something happened. We saw in verses 14 through 16 that Joash did everything to build the temple of God and bring it back, some believe, to its original state. It had been ignored and neglected over the decades, perhaps for more than a century, from any kind of repair or building or rebuilding of the temple. But the Lord used this young boy, when he became king, to rebuild the temple to the glory that it once had. And as a result, Bible scholars praise him. They look to him and say what a great reign he had. But something happened. Now in chapter 12, in verse 17, the next verse, after talking about the temple, it says, "Then Hazael, king of Syria, went up and fought against Gath and captured it. And Hazael set his face to go up to Jerusalem. And Jehoash, king of Judah, took all the sacred things that Jehoshaphat and Jehoram and Ahaziah, his fathers, kings of Judah, had dedicated, and his own sacred things, and all the gold that was found among the treasuries of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent it to Hazael, king of Syria. Then he went away from Jerusalem." Now, why would God do this? If Jehoash or Joash and Jehoiada had built such a faithful people, a faithful worship, God had protected them all those years from their enemies, why is it that King Hazael in far Syria, now Syria, I can sort of map it for you, Syria's up here, Israel's here, Judah's down here, Philistia is on the coast where the Philistines live, and Gath of the Philistines. Hazael came all the way down here and tried and captured Gath and started 40 miles west to try to capture Jerusalem while Joash was king and supposedly a faithful king. It's like something is missing from this account here, and it is, because it's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 24. If you'll turn with me there. 2 Chronicles chapter 24. Now the 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles are somewhat parallel to each other in their accounts. But 1 and 2 Kings is older. 1 and 2 Chronicles came later. And in light of more evidence or information, sometimes expands what happened in 1 Kings and 2 Kings. And this is the case in 2 Chronicles 24. And it begins the way 2 Kings 12 begins. "Joash was 7 years old when he became king and reigned 40 years in Jerusalem." And it covers the building of the temple up until verses 15. Now, the burnt offerings and everything were reinstituted into the temple at that time by Jehoiada, and Joash was king. And then in verse 15, if you'll read along with me here, beginning at verse 15. "Now when Jehoiada reached a ripe old age, he died, and he was 130 years old at his death. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings." Now he was a priest, but because he had saved Judah from destruction and from Athaliah, he was so honored by Judah that they buried him in the place of the kings, among the kings, because he had done well in Israel and to God and to his house. So what a faithful man. We could actually spend a whole message just talking about Jehoiada and how faithful he was to God, how he was brave, how he risked his life to bring truth and the worship of God back to Judah, to protect the temple, to protect the seed of David till the Messiah comes from him. He was really a major man, a major character in the Old Testament. But it says, when Jehoiada reached a ripe old age, he died and was 130 years old at his death, and they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he'd done well in Israel and to God and to his house. But after the death of Jehoiada, the officials of Judah came and bowed down to the king, and the king listened to them. And they abandoned the house of the Lord, the God of their fathers, and served the Asherim, Baal and the Asherah. So it's Baal worship and female goddess worship. So wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their guilt. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them back to the Lord. Though they testified against them, they would not listen. Then the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, and he stood above the people and said to them, "Thus God has said, why do you transgress the commandments of the Lord and do not prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he also has forsaken you." So they conspired against him, and at the command of the king, they stoned him to death. At the command of the king, they stoned him to death in the court of the house of the Lord. Thus Joash, the king, did not remember the kindness which his father Jehoiada had shown him, but he murdered his son. And as he died, he said, that is, Zechariah said, "May the Lord see and avenge." Now it came about at the turn of the year that the army, the Syrians, came up against him, and they came to Judah and Jerusalem, destroyed all the officials of the people from among the people, and sent all their spoil to the king of Damascus. Indeed, the army of the Syrians came up with a small number of men, yet the Lord delivered a very great army, that is Judah's army, into their hands, because they had forsaken the Lord, the God of their fathers. Thus they executed judgment on Joash. And when they had departed from him, for they left him very sick, that is Joash, his own servants conspired against him because of the blood of the son of Jehoiada the priest, and murdered him on his bed. So he died, and they buried him in the city of David. Now this was the king, but they did not bury him in the tombs of the kings. Now those who conspired against him, Zabad, the son of Shimeath, the Ammonitess, and Jehozabad, the son of Shimrith, the Moabitess. As to his sons and the many oracles against him and the rebuilding of the house of God, behold, they are written in the treatise of the book of the kings. Then Amaziah, his son, became king in his place. Now we see why God sent Hazael against Jerusalem and Joash. Joash had sinned greatly against the Lord. As soon as Jehoiada died, Joash listened to the officers of Judah who came to the officials of Judah who came to him to talk with him. And he listened to them as they came and worshiped him. They bowed down to him. And then they flattered him and gave him great praise and promised to be submissive to him, and they just had one request. Now, these are the officials of Judah who had been acting on behalf of King Joash and doing a faithful job, as far as we know, under Jehoiada. And they came to this young king who was now early 40s, and they said to him, "We wish to return to the worship of Baal in Jerusalem and Judah." Now think about that. Think about the history of Joash. Think of all the blessings that God had brought his way, all the good people in his life he had given him, teaching him the truth, calling him to believe the truth, to live according to God's ways, to believe in the forgiveness of sins through the sacrifices that represented Christ, to commit himself to obey the Lord in every situation of his life and in his kingship of Judah, to read the Word of God, the Scriptures which the kings were to read every day. All these things God had given Joash. But as soon as Jehoiada, the protector of Joash, the one sent from God to keep him faithful, as soon as he died, and these officials of Jerusalem and Judah came to him, he listened to them instead of carrying on the teachings he had received from Jehoiada. He turned his back on the teachings of God's law and broke God's law. He turned his back upon the sacrifices which represented the mercy and forgiveness of God at the cost of blood. He turned his back on the truth that God is the one that made him king. God had made him of the seed of David, that he was the only one to fulfill David's promise given by God, that he had been treated so well by so many people, the priest, Jehosheba, all these things that were in his history. But the moment the person God had sent to him to bring the word of God of him died, he no longer had that influence from that person. He turned to sin. He turned to sin. He listened to his friends. And they came and they proposed to him the most preposterous thing. No longer worship at the temple of God, but rebuild the temple of Baal and let us all worship Ashtoreth and Baal. This was the God that came from the Chaldeans over to the Philistines and then into northern Israel through Jezebel and now into Judah through her daughter Athaliah. Totally against God, totally forgetting what God had done for them. And as Tom was showing us this morning, taking them out of Egypt, crossing the sea, blessing them, bringing them into a promised land, granting them gift upon gift, promise upon promise. But when the ones who had influenced them and raised them in the Lord died, they went their own way. Moses died. Joshua died. And the whole history of Israel, north and south, is that there were some kings that were good and faithful, and God blessed Israel, protected her from her enemies, and made her prosper, like Solomon and David. But then if they followed the ways of the false gods and rejected all that God had done for them in the past, as if they were ungrateful children to what their parents had done for them, God brought upon them judgment. Obviously, there's some lessons there we'll get to. But God sent Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, when this happened. And he preached the word of God to Joash. Now, Joash knew Zechariah. There are some that believe that Zechariah lived in the temple as well and knew Joash as a little boy and had helped take care of him from his earliest days and even on through his decades as king of Israel. This was not a stranger. It was not some strange prophet that lives out in the wilderness and nobody really knows. This was a dear friend. He probably played with Joash as well as helped teach him. God sent Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, to preach to him and warn him of God's judgment, that he had broken the commandments of God, that he had defiled the worship of the temple, that he had made covenants and broke the covenant with God and made covenants with others. And he said, because they had forsaken the Lord, the God of their fathers, Syria executed judgment on Joash. When I read this text and then add 2 Chronicles 24 to it, it's shocking. It really is. When you think of all that God had done for Joash, that he would so quickly turn to others who were unbelievers. And it says in the text that he forgot the kindness, all the kindness with Jehoiada had treated him. He forgot all the kindness of God that had blessed him. And instead of humbling himself before a God of kindness and grace and obeying his commandments against all others who would try to tempt him away from God or tempt him to break the commandments, he yielded to them. He was like Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, who instead of listening to the counselors of Solomon and the teachings of Solomon before him, he listened to his peers, some young men that came and told him to have a hard hand on Israel, with the result that he split the country into Israel on the north and Judah on the south because he listened to the wrong people and he did not hold to the things that were taught him by the right people. And young people, you know what I'm talking about here. Your parents are not perfect, but you've been raised in a Christian home. You've been raised to hear the word of God, and that's all God's sovereign goodness to you right there. You have been raised in a church which is not perfect. But believe me, young people, when I say this church, God has brought far along the way to be a sound, faithful church of the Lord Jesus Christ that teaches you the truth and doesn't lie to you. So when you leave this place and you leave your parents' home, what you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to say, well, thank the Lord I'm away from here and I'm free, free as a bird to do what I wish? Now I can go with those people that my parents didn't want me to go with. Now I can do those things that my church would frown upon. Now I can go out in the world and make my own way and make something of myself, 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 instead of make something of God and give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ and lead a life that brings honor to his name and his blood. This is what's happening here in this chapter. A young man that rejected the counselors God brought to him. In many counselors, there's wisdom, but they have to be the right counselors. And young men and women, you have had them. One of the great heartbreaks that I have as a pastor over the years, and after I first came, the those first years, I saw so many young people who had been taught under Brother Bill, had parents that tried to change the way they raised their children to make it according to God's commandments. And as soon as they graduated from high school, or even before sometimes, and went to college or went out to work, you didn't see them hardly anymore at church. And then to find out that a number of them, not all of them, some were faithful to the Lord from their own, thank the Lord, but some of them fell away from the Lord into drink and drugs, immorality. And it broke my heart. And it breaks a parent's heart, it breaks a pastor's heart to see them act like Joash. What was Joash's great sin? Well, I need to finish here. But all that building of the temple didn't count toward God. Joash had had an outward display of the religion of Israel that seemed faithful for decades. But when the influences upon his life that taught him the ways of God and of mercy and of forgiveness and love and faithfulness, when they were gone and no longer present, he listened to unbelieving friends. He listened to his peers, those of his same age. When all through the book of Proverbs, God tells his people, his children, to listen to their father and mother, and to those who stand over them, the elders of their lives, and to honor them, even to stand up in their presence, those who have gray hair, and to listen to what they say to you, because they are given by God to protect you and teach you how to walk in happiness with God. Do not be like Joash. As soon as you're removed from those who were teaching you the ways of God, you go your own way, or actually you're weak enough to go their way instead of turning to God. So what's the great sin? Well, he broke the commandments of God. His heart was not right with God. With the outward influence of Jehoiada and the priest and the military and everything else, Joash conformed to what looked like faithful belief in God. But he never had it in his heart. He never loved God himself. It may have looked like a great kingship and revival in Judah, and it does. But deep down, he didn't have the conviction that God is real and he made me and he has rights over me to call me to love him, believe in him, and to keep his commandments in his life. He didn't have it inside. And it was revealed when he went out from the influences God had given him. Let none of you young people fall into the trap of Satan and lead you step by step, friend by friend, false advice, false counsel, away from the truth of God's word, which you have heard those who have taught you. And the same goes for us older folks as well. Joash was in his mid-40s when he turned away from the Lord. He did not persevere in the things that he had heard, in the worship of God, in the care of God for his soul and his life. And in his later time, he fell away. What was the sin? Well, there were two. Actually, there was a whole bunch of them. But there were two major ones. He did not submit himself to God in truth. that is in his heart and life. He did not humble himself as a sinner before God that needed mercy. He did not see that he was in danger of eternal death and damnation because of his own sins. He wasn't humbled for his sins. And secondly, he was ungrateful. He was ungrateful to God, and that led him to terrible sin in his latter years. Think of the privileges of Joash, raised with a good substitute father, sound teaching, the care of God, and then no longer under that care, he fell away from God. We read in 2 Peter chapter 1 that having the many and precious promises and the same kind of faith as Peter the apostle himself, let us add to that faith faithfulness. Let us add to that faith humility. Let us add obedience to God, love of the brethren. Let us add, let's keep adding to the end that we're to persevere in belief, persevere in looking to Christ every day, that our world has changed and he is our King. And we are in his kingdom, and his spirit dwells within us. And we have an eternal future that he's preparing for us because he loves us so much, so that we are so thankful and so grateful to him that we watch ourselves never to break his commandments and ignore him again. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12 in closing. A wonderful passage. Hebrews chapter 12. Where Paul has been talking about so great a cloud of witnesses. Let's run the race that is set before us. Let's persevere to the end. And he comes down to verse 18. And he tells them why. For you have come to a mountain that may not be touched, and to a blazing fire, and to darkness and gloom and a whirlwind, and to the blast of a trumpet, and the sound of words, which sound was such that those who heard begged that no further word be spoken. This is Mount Sinai. For they could not bear the command, if even a beast touches the mountain, it will be stoned. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I am full of fear and trembling. So when you look at the deliverance of God's covenant at Sinai, the law of God, the call to be faithful to that law, it was a fearful thing. And they did not keep the law, and God judged them. That's the history of Israel. But he says in verse 22, but you, that is you Christians, you who have believed that Jesus really existed, that he's really the Son of God, that he really taught the truth, really was crucified on the cross for the sins of all who believe in him, rose from the dead in great power, ascended on high and is ruling all things. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, that is the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels. You have come to myriads of angels, all which are servants, to take care of you that you never see. And to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, to the church of the firstborn enrolled in heaven. You have come to that. They are now your people. You can't see them, but they are there and they know you. And they're waiting for you, saying, come in, come in. Eternal glory you will win. And to God you have come, the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous men made perfect. I can't wait for that day. And to Jesus, you've come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. And that sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel, see to it that you do not refuse who is speaking. Do not throw the word of God behind your back like Joash did. Remember who you have come to, not just what. Matthew Henry said, it was good for Joash to build the temple, but it's better to be the temple where God dwells, where God reigns. See to it that you do not refuse him who's speaking, for if those who did not escape when they refused him who warned him on earth, much less shall we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. He's coming again. And this expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken as of created things, in order that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. So how should you respond to all these blessings? How should Joash have responded to all the blessings of God? How should we? Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude. Now, some of you have the translation, let us have grace. But the words are the same, and the import is, let us be thankful. Let us show gratitude. By which, see, gratitude is connected to something, by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, namely, yourself as a living sacrifice to God. Out of gratitude, out of thankfulness. Thankfulness should spread over our mind and conscience all the time. Gratitude for the Jesus who shed his blood and took on my sins as if he committed them and experienced the judgment and wrath of God against each and every one of those sins as if he committed them, bearing the shame, suffering the wrath that I might be forgiven and accepted and adopted as a child of God. Let us show gratitude. Let us have grace. Let us give thanks. Let us not be like Joash, who was ungrateful, forgot, was unappreciative of the blessings he had received from God in Jehoiada. But rather, let us look to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Hebrews says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we persevere. It's looking unto him that we persevere, making sure that we're not just external in our obedience and appearance as a believer, as Joash was, but rather that with our heart we have seen the love of God in the face of Jesus Christ for our soul and for the future. Therefore, we give thanks. We have gratitude. And in the face of the strongest temptation that Tom talked about this morning, in the moment of temptation, when we feel sin arising in our hearts or thoughts coming through our mind, we look unto Jesus, who is alive and risen from the dead and has proven his love for us. And because of that great love, with thanksgiving, we say, yes, Lord, and we obey him. We put sin to death and we put on obedience to God. And we worship him with thanksgiving. Do you think like that? This is what keeps us, from our side, faithful to the end, believing that these things are true and they're more important than anything in our life now or in the future. to be changed by the love of God into a loving man and woman. To be forgiven by God as a man and woman, to forgive others around us the same. And to realize how God has blessed us and through His Son washed our feet with a servant's towel so that we may learn how we're to serve our spouse, our children, our employer, each other in the church, and bring forth a life and a church that brings glory to the grace of God that has been given in the face of Jesus Christ. And when we fail to be as grateful as we should, Jesus bore that sin upon Himself too, so that we may come to Him and find mercy, forgiveness, and a love that makes us want to obey Him again. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that anyone here who is without Christ would come to the gracious Savior and believe the truths about Him, that they would listen to the truth that they've been taught by their parents, by this church, by other believers, and not turn away from it when they go out from their presence. Help them to build a life on truth that lasts, that builds loving marriages and raises children with kindness and builds churches that are faithful. Let them not lose heart. Let them not listen to the world, the flesh, and the devil, but rather to look to Jesus Christ. And having been first loved by Him, to love Him back. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.